Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Your Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started with Speak to My Heart.
My heart, yeah.
Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh my God.
Give me your holy word.
Your holy word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Yes, your daily lover, and that was Speak to My Heart, Oh Lord. Ooh, you know, sometimes you just wake up, some days you just want God to speak to your heart. Speak to my heart. Donald Lawrence, right here on the Love Journey family. We're going to get started by recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so in this right now moment, I just want you to become still and become very intentional about the breath. I want you to be very intentional about the breath, reminding yourself that there is power in the breath, and sometimes, finally, we forget to breathe. So in this right now moment, I want you to breathe, family, breathe, by taking in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and releasing the breath. And so I want you to just remember to breathe deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart. And I want you to move from your head to your heart and just go into your heart space right now and just go into gratitude. Thank you, God. No physical movement has to be done. Just move right into your heart. And breathe into it and just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I want you to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Let's do that again, family. Let's just breathe in. And taking these deep breaths connects us back to the very source of creation. the very source of our very essence, the very source of our soul's being. And as you breathe in this time, just call forth the soul essence of you and say, good morning, soul. Good morning, soul. Let's breathe and release. And in this right now moment, as you move from your head into your heart, and hopefully you're still in your heart, ask yourself, what is the goal of my soul? What is my purpose, soul essence? And just breathe in. Let's breathe, finally. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we just simply say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
I forgive myself. Oh, Holy Spirit, just giving me the strength to move through this process, understanding and knowing that you are all that God is. Knowing that you are all that God is. As we remove and cleanse ourselves today of any judgment, any criticism, any thoughts that keep us from knowing that we are all that God is. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Let your glory fill this place. that your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts. We need you to surround us in this place. Bring new life within us. Send a refreshing, Lord. Saturate our hearts.
Surround us in this place. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. Good morning to the sun, the moon, the stars. Good morning to the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees. Good morning, my Father, sky, Mother Earth, Mother Nature. Good morning to all the energy in the universe, the land, the soil. Good morning to the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom. Good morning to our most beneficent angelic family. Good morning, angels. Good morning to our archangels as we invite and invoke our angels, archangels, our ascended masters. Good morning, ascended masters. Master guides and spirit guides, good morning to the unseen man. Good morning to our beautiful ancestors, those who have made their transitions, those who have walked this journey before us, those who have sacrificed their lives. And so in this right now moment, I want us to become very conscious of those known and unknown ancestors as we invite them into our space in this right now moment, thanking and paying homage to those who sacrificed their lives, those who came before us. Good morning, ancestors. We invite and invoke your presence. Thank you, ancestors. Thank you, ancestors. Whew. And good morning, good morning, good morning. You've tuned into the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover and excited about God's love. Good morning to my brothers and sisters, my oh, guys and goddesses, my millionaires and billionaires. Yes, I'm talking about you, you and you. That new book you're writing, yes. My new million-dollar authors and writers and speakers and filmmakers and entrepreneurs and investors. I'm excited about where your life is going. Good morning. God is calling you deeper. Yes, even in your finances. Yes, God's told me I'm calling you all deeper. You're not just getting up every morning commanding your day. Because what Reverend Ike say, how you start your day is how you live your day. You are calling forth the divine spirit. And God said, I got you. I got you. I got you. I got you. And do you know that that's a lot of our, that we don't really believe that God has us? We think that we have the control, because let me tell you something that I want you to think about this. And you might want to tweet this. You might want to, whatever you want to do, put it on Facebook. But the presence of trouble does not mean the absence of God. I'm going to say that again. The presence of a situation or a presence of some type of challenge does not mean the absence of God. And sometimes we begin to see the face of the situation and forget that God is present, even in that situation. So I want you to think about today, how can we be reminded presence of God no matter what? And I want you to really marinate on that idea, the presence of trouble does not mean the absence of God. Think about that. How many times we think, oh, heaven must not be hearing my prayers. God must not be on the throne. And literally we know God is, but we're not trusting the divine process. And that's what we've been talking about this week. We talked about trusting the struggle. We talked about believing your dreams. Let your dreams bigger than dreams. Let your dreams breathe in every cell in your body. We talked about that there's a time, there's God's time, and that you have favor and that you mark for a time such as this. On your dreams. We talked about taking risk on our dreams. And I know sometimes we feel like, wow, sometimes it just feels impossible. Sometimes we feel lit up and turned on with passion and purpose. Sometimes we feel like we're spinning our wheels and confused about where to start, and it might be starting to believe that we just got to settle and just be happy with what we have. Here's the thing. It takes hunger. Sometimes it takes you to be hungry. Sometimes it takes you to get deep to bring your dreams to life, my family. You have a desire of what you want and have a fire inside you that won't be extinguished. When you are alive with your passion and purpose, your energy lights up in everyone and everything. Your world needs the light. The world needs your light. You need to tweet that out, Janine Ingram. The world needs your light. I see people struggling to figure out how to build their dreams, their businesses. If you're struggling with the how-tos of all this, let me share 5 steps today. Yeah, that will help you take those dreams and turn them into actual reality. I thought this was good. I read this today. You know, I'm always reading some, and here's one. It said, one, write down open loops. Open loops are everything you want to get. One, either now or later or Sunday. Everything that's on your mind. Your mind is not a filing cabinet. It's a creative machine. Get all the to-dos off your mind and into one place. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. So many people keep it in their head and never write down their dreams. When you write it down, it reduces overwhelm and gives you a place to be in. Yes. For example, if you want to leave your soul-sucking job and start your own business, you may identify an open loop of needing to write a plan of action. Research your target market and connect your ideal client to get feedback on the services you want to create. Action. Write down all of your dreams in one place that you can reference weekly. I would say reference it every morning. I recognize that seeing your dreams and writing it down is a very powerful tool. Step two, desired outcome. Be specific about what you want to achieve and by when. State it in the positive and present tense. Write down the outcomes that you want, not what you don't want. Too many people spend all their life talking and thinking about what they don't want, and they wonder why they don't have it. Action. Write down the outcome that you want to achieve and by when, such as your business making $50,000 a month by December 10th, 2018. Don't get caught up in whether you can do it or not by the date, or just set the goal. Write it down. But be specific when you're writing your desired outcome, how much money you want to make, and write it down and write it with great adjectives and describe it and feel what you're saying and write it. Step three is your vision. Imagine the day that your dream comes to reality. What does it feel like? What does it look like? Who are you? Step into that feeling of seeing it. See it so crystal clear and create a compelling vision for the future that you're creating for yourself, not someone else's future, yours. Not something that somebody else has for you, but the one you have for yourself. Actually, write at least one page of what it would be like waking up on December 10, 2019 or 18 or whatever date, and you've done it. Be as specific. How does it feel? And then go into the vision. And I want you to step into the vision. I want you to be still when you do it. Now, for me, I light candles and I create ambiance. Maybe you want to put some meditation music on. And maybe you want to light some candles and get very still. And for me, I always stop God's will for my life. Show me the will, God, that you have for me, Holy Spirit. And then show me, Holy Spirit, how to step into that vision that you have for my life. God, show me the direction. And then when I see the vision, I ask myself, what do I need to do? I go and meet that self. I say, I meet my future self. Hi, Janine. I'm Janine. I'm Janine today. What would it take for me to become the Janine that I see in this vision? How can I become you? And then I start to write whatever comes up in my heart. And so tonight, today, this weekend, whenever you have a chance to do this exercise, I saved this exercise for today because I wanted you to do it over the weekend. You know, take some time and spend with yourself. Step four, courageous and perfect action. How do you eat an elephant? That's an age-old question with the same answer, one bite at a time. And if you're a vegan, if you are a vegan, how do you eat a redwood tree? Well, maybe not the same thing, but you get my drift. One bite at a time. Look at your dreams. Put them in priority and grill down to the next specific step that you need to take to get it done. Be specific. Make it grounded. Make it actionable. Identify your top most important dreams and all of the specific actions needed to make it happen, such as finally publishing your website, going on a retreat to get your business up and running in 7 days, or setting a boundary with a toxic relationship. Check out the productive apps to help you make a routine out of your daily tasks. Focus is step five. Now, as I just mentioned, learn to say no and set boundaries. Say no. You hear me. No is okay. Say it about 100% more than you do right now. Saying no can be huge for your dreams to come true. Do it now. Action. Where are you distracted or spending time that does not serve you or your purpose? Start saying these energy drains now. Start saying no to these energy drains now. Start saying no to these energy drains now. You must create the space you need in your life to bring your dreams forth. Trust me, and let's get into action. Follow these steps and you will have leave behind any overwhelm, any struggle, any stress, or any of that and move forward successful. Leave that stress and struggle and overwhelmness behind so that you can move forward in order to make your dreams possible. But not just possible, a reality. Let me know what your powerful dream is. And what is your first action you're going to take to get this? Big things happen when we take small steps. Listen, let me say that again. That's another tweetable thing. Big things happen when we take small steps, inch by inch, life's a cinch, family. And what is the first action you're going to take to get there? Big things happen when we take small steps. Let's take the small step together today, right now. Those small steps right now to get our lives. And I can only imagine when your dreams are finally coming true. When you're really living out your dreams, what would your dream look like? What would you be wearing? Are you imagining your life? Would your dream car, your dream body, your dream relationship, your dream finances? Oh, my God. True happiness, money, health, success, wealth, love, joy, be, doing, having. What would I really look like? What would life be for me if I'm doing what I truly love doing? And I want you to take your time and discover yourself. You know, so many times we give ourselves away and we do not take 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes to just sit. Sometimes we just do not sit with ourselves and ask ourselves. And we don't dream big. I remember Master Kemp writing about his journey. It can happen. And he was in an 8x8 pool house living in his girlfriend's, who he had broke up with, pool house. And I'm going to read his process so you can really see life and how life can turn around. And the reason I want to read it, because we have talked about several of these things that he points out. Hi, I'm Master. This here, baby, is my blog. And my blog was born in an 8x8 pool house in a Kundalini yoga studio. You see, I call it my Hollywood jail cell. That's where I was living at age 28, down and out, broken in Los Angeles, California, in a structure about the size of a jail cell, owned by my ex-girlfriend's parents, who took mercy on me just big enough for my California king mattress and nothing else. Let me hear you. Did you hear me say owned by my ex-girlfriend's parents who took mercy on me and it was just big enough for my California king mattress and nothing else? You could say it was the Hollywood version of a jail cell. I know. I was pretty crushed compared to actual prison, but a long way down from where I've been. My own house in the Hollywood Hills with a BMW, a list of celebrity friends, and my dream job in the music business. I remember asking my creator, why was I in such a small space? And the answer I got back, this is the size of your faith. Ouch. Now, I want to stop right there. Have we ever asked the creator, why was I in such or whatever situation. And I want to say that probably for us the answer would be the same thing. This is the size of our faith. But it was just enough. You see, Top of the World, my title, Senior Vice President of A&R at Flawless Giffen Records. At age 21, not too shabby, right? I dropped out of USC to take the job. It was all I've ever wanted. I'm already busted as an intern at a company that represented acts like Limp Bizkit, Puddle of Mud, and the Backstreet Boys. Later in my career, I served as an assistant manager to Gnarls Barkley. And then with my new job, I served as an official King of the World. Yes. Music exec by day, Hollywood dish by night, drugs and parties, parties and drugs. I was on the circuit 7 nights a week. I knew the promoters, the door guys, the hotties, the celebs, and of course the dealers. And they all knew me. I did blow. I did biking, and you name it. At first, it was just a fitting, and then, well, we all know how that one goes. I since discovered that addiction is a function of looking for the divine in the wrong place. More on that later. I want you to hear that. I discovered that addiction is a function of looking for the divine in all the wrong places. And remember now, addiction don't have to just be drugs, alcohol, sex. It could be food, men, women, people. It could be so many things. After 2 months at my hot job, I was fired. Something about a drug problem? Rock bottom? Not yet. I had other things going for me, so I still had juice. I had a clothing line called Love Yourself. I myself wasn't quite there yet. That was in the planet blue, kissing of all the cool stores around Beverly Hills and Malibu. And then I didn't. The storm hit. The recession hit. The clothing line collapsed. And in 1 week, which I call it my divine storm, my clothing business partner and I broke up. My roommate kicked me out. I got gout in my foot. My back went out. The girl I was dating and I broke up. I think that covers it. Did I mention I had gout? Gout? Who gets gout? The irony is, I've always imagined myself hiring a helicopter to land me in the middle of my Kansas high school reunion and show everyone what a rock star I was. And here, I didn't even have enough money for a plane ticket. Looking for a new job. I took my ex-girlfriend's parents up on their half-kidding offer to live in their pool house if things ever got bad. I got myself off drugs, and I needed some new way to feel as good as I felt when I was on them. And I've said addiction is about looking for the divine in the wrong place. Well, it was time for me to look somewhere else. I started doing obscene amounts of Kundalini yoga at the Golden Bridge Yoga in California. And I devoured obscene amount of reading, self-development, religion, philosophy, spirituality, and more self-development. And whatever would help me find myself, find my purpose, find that self-loving feeling. Oh, my God, somebody should have told me that it was about me loving me. Hot chicks and successful entrepreneurs. I admit it at that time. The divine spoke through me, and the divine spoke to me through hot chicks and successful entrepreneurs. I like books by attracting females and mega successful entrepreneurs. The first book that I really rocked my world was Energy Anatomy by Carolyn Miss. I discovered it through a Foxy oral reading. I've tried successfully, unsuccessfully to hit on at a conference. She didn't give me her digits, but she gave me these audio CDs. I listened to them. The heavens opened up. Cue chorus of a Foxy angel. And then I found Tony Robbins. Once you go, Tony, you never go back. I know that's not all catchy, but it's true. I couldn't get enough. I was on an unbridled self-discovery spree, reading books after books, attending seminars, soaking up wisdom, wherever I could get it. And I discovered such brilliant stuff, I just had to share it. Sharing the love from the 8x8 room with nothing to my name but a painful case of gout. I started tweeting my butt off and writing blogs every day, and everyone loved it. Okay, not everyone, but I kept at it anyway. But the game changer came in August of 2009. After I had been tweeting for a year, Kim Kardashian with her 2 million plus Twitter followers told them to follow me. And with that single tweet, that night, my tweets and my blogs went from 1,000 followers to 10,000. And the rest is history. No, make that your story. all you, baby. Yeah, you. Thanks to a growing community of brilliant love-seeking and love-sharing dynamos like you has taken on a life of its own. You see, it even helped me to evolve into such a force that loving it up. You help spread the word, living the mission to challenge your limiting beliefs and all the BS stories that hold us back, to help bring healing to the planet by helping people connect to what makes them happy. You see, this is powerful stuff. You see, being led by God not just led me to a new life, a purpose, a book deal with Hay House, but to the love of my life. What can love really do for you? The sky's the limit. Soak it up. Life might be short, but let's get the most love out of it every day. Love is the answer. Love is the key. I want you to just breathe in that. Love. Soak it up, he says. Soak it up. So many times we find ourselves maybe not into that level of homelessness and maybe not to that level, but some of us find ourselves like, what in the world am I here for? And if love is the answer and I got the key, then how do I unlock the door? And I'll say from my heart to yours, that is being still. It sounds simple. Sometimes God has to shut us down. Sometimes God has to shake us to awaken us. Sometimes we got to get shut down and be still. But I want you right now to know, don't let life suck you out and knock you out to the point where you have to be shut down and be still. Try it right now and be still. Write your dreams down. And don't think that any dream that you have is too small or too big or not for you. Yes, you. I'm going to say this to you that Martin Victor Hansen once said. He's the co-author of The Chicken Soup for Your Soul. He said when your self-worth goes up, your net worth goes up with it. So why am I giving you that quote? Let me say that again. When your self-worth goes up, your net worth goes up. Because what happens is when we begin to love, believe, and honor ourselves, our self-worth automatically brings up our network. And I want to remind you to accept no one's definition of your life. Define your own life. Accept everything about yourself, and I mean everything. You are you, and that is the beginning and the end. No apologies and no regrets. So I leave you with this thought. That this billionaire once said, and he wrote this, so it's not long, but it's about, I'm going to read it to you. He said that if you don't know Damon John is the guy from FUBU, and this is what he said. He said, it's amazing to me how many people are afraid of the word no, especially when it comes to intimate relationships and being an entrepreneur or going for your own dream. I've seen in my own life and in the life of many of my clients that we tend to spend so much time avoiding, that we waste time, and instead of marching right through our fears and on to the next, we delay. The logic goes something like this. We delay getting a no because we get a no, then we will be rejected. And if we're rejected, it means we are unlovable, unworthy, and our dreams unreal. And feeling those feelings of rejection is almost worse than our feelings of fear surrounding death. So our lower self does everything it can to avoid those feelings. It procrastinates. It overeats. It drinks too much. It works too much. It avoids tough conversation with loved ones. It's passive aggressive, and it runs from those who expose us to those critical, deeper truths about ourselves. But see, that way of thinking isn't true. Getting a no can be painful, but it's not final. There are 3.5 billion single people in the world today. Edison tried 10,000 times before he got it right. Fred Smith, the founder of FedEx, was laughed at by his business professor at Yale for his idea of FedEx and even got a C on his presentation. But his net worth is what? $2.1 billion, and on the story goes. Because you are a seeker on the path, your duty to your higher self, to your dreams, and to those not yet on the path is to invite the rejection into your life and then be unfazed by it. You see, there's truly no such thing as rejection or failure. Rejection and failure are outcomes only of the mind, but not of reality. In reality, if someone says no, it's just a result. It's impersonal. You take this result personally and call it rejection or failure, but the universe just calls it a result. So if you want to live your dream, take Edison's approach, and instead of seeing failure, see each attempt that didn't work as a result and as one step closer to your goal, because you know, you now know one more thing that didn't work. This means you are actually smarter and wiser than you were before. This is simply part of the learning process. Taking things personally will not help you make your dreams come true. And as I said last week, if you come from a place of fullness, more fullness will be given to you. So know that when you produce results that do not match your expectations, do not call it rejection or failure, then create some silly sob story about yourself. Just be fooled. Learn your lesson and know that the perfect person, the perfect outcome, the perfect situation is on its way. A delay is not a denial. A no is just a delay, not a denial, my friend. And a short-term no does not mean a final no. A short-term no does not mean a final no. Press on. Press on with all your heart and get busy producing your results. Oh, my God, can I tell you, the universe is waiting. The universe is waiting. So here's Damon John's advice. He created a multi-billion dollar entrepreneur. In himself. And he didn't give up. He did not give up. On yourself. But you know, I like to say too that it is so much easier when you have someone believing in you. His mom believed in him. Do you know he sold his mom's furniture? And mortgaged the house? That's belief. And as much as I love my children, do I want to mortgage my house? Do I believe in that idea enough? I don't know. They haven't came to me with it. But I wonder, would I be able to do something of that magnitude for their dreams? But his mother believed in him. I'm sure it helped him to believe in himself. I tell you, it's so much easier when you start to believe in the gift that you are to the planet. When you start to believe that you are never alone. When you start to really know and own that you are all that God is, and that everything that's happening into our lives is just pushing us into that greater version of ourselves. Yes, those divine stories. Yes, those no's. And yes, what we may feel like rejections. All of those are part of the process. What will we do today? To get closer to that dream. And so as we leave today, I want you to really own and think about and taking your time to create your life, create this day, create your weekend, create it. You were meant to be amazing. You were meant to live an amazing life. And the only thing that's stopping you is you today. remind yourself that your life is truly the gift from God. Remind yourself of that. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, press 1 on Blog Talk, press star 6 on the teleconference line. If you want to make a comment, if you have any thoughts, if you want to just, whatever you may want to ask, you can open up the lines. We're opening up the lines for anyone who may have a question right now. All right. Thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey. Thank you for reminding yourself that you are all that God is. And so I'm going to play this poem, Doubt Your Doubts.
Good morning, lady.
Before you. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Khadija. Good morning, Love Journey family.
Good morning, Khadija Ali at the beach.
Oh, yes, yes. Life is good. Don't ever forget that. So, Lady Love, you've been on one this week. I just wanted to speak to what you have been sharing with us this week. The Pastor Michael that you shared. Yes, he was absolutely phenomenal. I went on YouTube looking for that particular sermon that he did yesterday. And I just want to say it really is about how you feel about yourself. And we all have gifts. And if we just believe in that gift and, like, really believe in it, we believe in it when nobody else believes in it. And, I'm in the grocery store. So, I really believe in that gift and, you know, pursue it no matter what it looks like on the outside. And I've just been so inspired by what you shared. It's just helped me solidify my gift and really pursue it with passion. I do. Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you. And I'm complete.
You are so welcome. Were you able to find him on one he preached yesterday? Because I can send it to you.
No, I found it.
Okay, because he was that. I sent it to Carla. So if you need it, let me know, honey. It was called Mark. Your life is already marked. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found it. I found it. It's like 50 minutes long. I just love his style of teaching.
Yeah, I had never heard of him until I had, you know, I'm out here in North Carolina, and my daughter's church, Elevation Church, had him speak. And I was like, literally, when he was speaking, tears was coming down my eyes. I'm like, oh, my God. He was just speaking to my soul. He was speaking to my heart. I had to share it with the Love Journey. And, you know, I listen to TEDx a lot. And so Trust in the Struggle, I don't know if you heard that one. But that one was so good to me, too, because the one thing that came out of this, I don't know if anybody saw the movie 12 Years a Slave, but she is the sister to the brother who was in that movie. And the one thing that she said that I took away from that is her brother used to practice Shakespeare even long before he even had an audition. He used to get up every day and practice. Can you imagine how much greatness will come from somebody who practiced their dreams every day? And I took away that because when I saw that movie, I remember coming home telling, and Lupina, that was before people even knew who Lupina was. I remember telling my husband, whoever did the casting for this movie did a phenomenal job. I said, because the actors just brought so much life into the movie. Lupina's part, and I can't think of his name. He's an African guy, and he spoke with such eloquence. And it was just, you could really believe that he was, because one thing I didn't always know that there were no black people. There were some black people that weren't slaves. So you really believe that he wasn't a slave, and that, you know, the way he dressed and the way he presented himself, and it was with such dignity and royalty that when they pushed him into slavery, you could still see there was something different about the way he moved through slavery. I was like, wow, this is such a cool they did such a great casting, and now I see why he was so good. He practiced every day, she said. She said he would be in the room and practicing and practicing and practicing his Shakespearean plays, and even before he had auditions, even before he was even known, thought, or even auditioned for a movie. I'm like, wow, what if we did that with our dreams? Khadija, I love you.
Exactly. No, exactly. And that's what stuck out to me, I think, yesterday when Pastor Michael was speaking. You know, he did. The thing that was so powerful to me is that he really listened to the voice of God, and he believed before he saw. I remember the part where he was talking about going to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he was outside the church, and they were like, nope, 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 can't come in, nope, nope, nope. And he was just like, all right, well, I guess, you know, I'm just praying. But, you know, having that attitude of, like, you don't see it right now. You don't see it right now. But you just believe like you believe, like you believe, you know, like you know, like you know. And that feeling, I wish I could describe what that feeling feels like. For myself, it's like I just know, like I know, like I know. And I have no physical evidence of any of the things that I am writing about in my future. But every time I do it, it just shows up. It shows up. So, again, this week has been phenomenal, and I just want to thank you for sharing what you're sharing. I'm telling you, it sinks in, and I get off the phone, and I'm inspired to act even more once I'm off the phone, not just being here and being excited on the phone. So thank you.
Thank you, Khadija. And Khadija's doing big things, baby. She just got her certification. And what was that I saw you speaking at? I said, go, Khadija. Congratulations. And it's important to celebrate ourselves, too. So we celebrate you and honor you, Miss Khadija Ali.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I was Toastmasters. I joined Toastmasters in May. I was actually a part of Toastmasters back in 2013. And, I wanted to take myself serious around speaking. And so I said, you know what, I know if I get back involved in Toastmasters, and, you know, it'll force me to hone my craft. It'll force me to really think about how I'm delivering my message and what to say to the world. So already, I did my first what they call an icebreaker speech. It's like the very first speech that you do when you come in. And the impact I made there that night was just, I wasn't prepared for it. I was so thinking about just do the speech and make sure it's within a certain amount of minutes. And I was thinking about the mechanics of it. I really wasn't thinking about how impactful it was going to be. And I don't know, Janine, I connected with the audience, which was my fellow Toastmaster, my fellow peers, and one of the VP of Education, she sent me an email that later on that night saying that she wanted to come up to me and hug me based on my speech, and, you know, she just felt like maybe she shouldn't, but I was just blown away, so... You know, God will make room for your gifts. He'll make room for your gifts if you just keep moving forward, if you give and serve. You know, when Pastor Michael was talking about, you know, serving in those places where you're like, you know, you're turning up your nose, or, you know, I always get the question like, you know, oh, well, you went here and you did that. You know, did you get paid? And I'm like, no. No, I didn't. But I'm making an impact on the women that were there. And you never know. You never know what will happen. So it's not about, to me right now, it's not about, you know, oh, commanding a fee and all of that. And that time is going to come to me. Right now it's about planting the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing it cheerfully. I'm doing it happily. I'm taking money out of my pocket to go and invest and give and serve. So with that, I'm complete.
Thank you, Khadijah. I really appreciate all of your comments. They were very thought-provoking, and I'm really grateful to see you on your path of, to a greater version of who God called you to the kingdom to be. Thank you so much. And I just want to add to the Pastor Michael Todd, the one thing that I really wanted us to take away from him yesterday, and the reason why I shared it is because sometimes we think it's about networking. Sometimes it's to think about being in the right places. Sometimes it's thinking we got to get to know this person and all that stuff. But what I loved about Michael Todd's process is that when we go to God, when we seek the kingdom of heaven, the place where we understand that the Creator exists, the Creator will set us in the place of our blessing. And that's what most touched my soul. See, I don't have to do anything. I'll be in the right place at the right time because I know that God is leading me and guiding me into the right place at all times. And when we trust in the divine process, we know that we are being led. So I think about what Khadijah was saying. Maybe she didn't get paid, but she was in the right place at the right time. You never know who may hear her speak, who may call her one day and say, I'm giving a conference, and I want to give you $50,000 to come speak at my conference. You know, I think about Pastor T.D. Jakes when he started out with only five people in his big old church. And then we get upset when only nobody shows up to something that we do, or only 10 people show up, or only five, and we're not consistent because the people not showing up because we think we're doing it for the people. But we're not. We're doing it for the blessing of ourselves. And as we get bigger and as we grow bigger, our light shine bigger, the people will show up. I want you to know if you're doing something and people not showing up the way you think they should, don't just keep going. I can't tell you how many times people call me, one of my girlfriends who loved me dearly, and I know she loved me dearly, and she's like, you should be doing something else. I know I'm not. I know what I'm doing because this is what God told me to do. See, God kept telling me to show up even when nobody else showed up. God said, show up on that line if nobody else shows up. And she called me. She said, babe, you shouldn't be doing that. No, I know what God told me. And sometimes people who love you think they know for you better than you, but they don't, because they don't know what God got for you. Only you know what God has for you. Don't even get caught up in that, because God will show you out at the time there's a divine timing. When Michael Todd said he wanted to be in elevation inside, now look, he got there. He got to sit in that seat. But 1 year later, without doing a thing, without networking, without chatting, oh, yeah, I'm not, you know, no. God shined his light. Pastor Steve was just going through on YouTube after his service. He had looked at himself listening, and Michael Todd happened to come up after, and it caught his attention. And he said, I want to share him with Elevation. Now, if you all know anything about Elevation, Stephen Furtick is a young guy. He's friends with my son-in-law. They all 28, 33 years of age, young people. And let me just tell you, Stephen Furtick's churches, he has more than one church. He has about 13 churches. And every Sunday, he gets up and he satellites all the other churches around North Carolina area. Now, you know that's ingenious. So can you imagine how many, every church is filled to capacity. And they come, some see him, in one church see him in person, and the other 12 campuses see him on a screen. And they come. And they tithe, and they have so much energy and spirit filled in the churches. Now, that's ingenious, an idea. 13 campuses around the North Carolina area. It's called Elevation. Check it out. And you see how, and before church started, they show how much money came in for the month. And when $13 million and what they do with the money, how many homeless people they feed, how much money they send to this, and how much they do for this. And they send, they let people know where the tithes are going. And this is young people, a lot of young people in these churches. Most of the, a couple of campuses are on college campuses, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm saying to you today. So for him to just happen to hear Michael Todd and decide that he wanted to bring him to Elevation Church to speak at his church, that was huge for Michael Todd. Because he was being placed in front of millions of people who come to his church and listen from all around the world. So what am I saying? God will call you out and show you out if you just believe. He'll doubt your doubts before you doubt God.
I remember my little niece ran up to me and told me, "We learned about Jesus today." And I could tell by her smile she was so excited to learn about this man that she did not quite know yet, but she knew without a doubt for it to be true, because after all, Mommy said so. And that was the first time in my life that I looked into the eyes of a child and envied them, because she had no idea of what it feels like to doubt. What it feels like to have your entire belief system overload with skepticism, to never know the day that you would finally be able to live beyond the shadow of a doubt. I've lived in its darkness for so long, it seems like I have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and my faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of my palms. God, every night I lay my head down to sleep, the city of my mind is attacked by a legion of questions threatening the living rooms of my sanity and holding them hostage. Can you help me? Last year, my grandmother laid in a hospital bed like a bus stop waiting for God to come pick her up. I had never seen such pain and such confidence living in the same eyes when she told me, "I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know who I belong to." And I was so happy for her. And something inside of me wished that somehow before she passed away, she could pass down her confidence in God to me like an old family picture. I remember sitting in the back row of a cold sanctuary, crying, because I desperately wanted what the preacher was saying to be true, but my doubts were preaching a sermon of their own, and the streams of my tears turned into oceans of frustration. I remember sitting in a college classroom, and the only thing being tested is my faith in God. The only thing passing is my hope. Me, in a backpack full of fear, nowhere to go. No one to help me unpack. I sleep, but I never rest. These lines around my eyes are not wrinkles. They are maps that show you the winding roads that lead to my pain. I'm tired. And I'm longing for the day that I can place my fingers in his nail-pierced hands, because honestly, I've considered quitting, but where will I go? Back? There's no home for the living in the land of the dead, so I keep pressing forward. Today I have faith, but I can't make any promises about tomorrow. I'm surprised I've held on this long. God, just make me feel like I'm not crazy. God, let me know that I'm not just making friends with these walls. When I pray, I'm not questioning you. I just got questions. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me. My child, when it seems like you have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and your faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of your palms, I told you. Faith the size of mustard seeds can rearrange whole landscapes and turn mountains into open highways. Faith comes by my word, so maybe you've cuffed your ears, my child. Don't be childish. But consider the child whose faith has not quite learned the definition of impossible. Have your questions. I'm not telling you to have a blind faith. I'm telling you to consider the blind men who had faith and believed my words before they were even able to see me. Consider the birds that eat from my hand and do not fall from the sky without my consent. So how much more will I love the ones that I died for? Before you doubt me, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts, and you will see they are just as empty as the tomb that I walked from. Truth is, you know I'm here. You know my truth, and you're scared. Scared of what that means. Scared of what that should cost you. That one day they will all laugh you right out of their classrooms and scorn you out of their courtrooms. But my love serves as an eviction notice to anxiety. When they cast stones, my love casts out fear. I am the author and finisher of your faith. I've never started a work that I will not finish. I am the one who will give you courage to stare death in the face and say, how dare you try to scare me? I know who I belong to. And when it feels like you are drowning, in a sea of your questions, just know I'm there. I'm there. Like when I drowned in the Red Sea of my blood for you, and these hands that took holes will hold you. And when I told you that I would love you forever, I meant it. Don't you see these rings in my hands? See, we are married. For better or for worse, through sickness and in health, through faith and through questions, till death brings us closer, you are mine. You are mine, and I am yours, I promise.
Wow.